And welcome, my friends, to The Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn in studio with me today from The Generations Forward. And today we have a discussion on the issue of privacy and Facebook. We've had some questions about Facebook coming in from our studio audience. And Mark Zuckerberg just showed up in front of a Senate investigation committee this last week, apologizing for the misuse of 87 million Facebook accounts. Oops, sorry about that.
Whoops. Yeah. Didn't mean to.
That's like a third of the population of America.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Third of the population of America. We misused your Facebook accounts. Well, you know, Facebook, of course, has something like 2 billion subscribers right now. Zuckerberg may be the most powerful man in the world. Well, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has got influence over 7 billion.
Yeah. Yeah, even Jing Jiaping only has that much over China.
1.3 billion or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Wall Street Journal said the issue is really a battle over privacy, whether we have a right to our own private, to maintain our own private information without the involvement and the spreading out of our private information on the part of third parties to other parties. The goal would be to protect user privacy, increase transparency, and give individuals greater control over their digital identities while not stifling innovation in an industry that is the epitome of American ingenuity. So that's apparently the goal for the kind of legislation that the Wall Street Journal would like to see coming out of Congress these days. But that's a pipe dream, my friends. The assumption that powerful men intoxicated by power and infected by Grandpa Adam's little issue, that is, or big issue, the assumption that these powerful men that are already infected by the problem of the depravity of sin, they're also intoxicated by power, the assumption that somehow these people will not do the wrong thing with mass access to the data is a pipe dream. These people, they're given access to power. What will they do with it? Come
on. Use it to get more power.
Exactly. Big duh. Big duh. The temptation for powerful people to access mass information available to them these days is tremendous, friends. And you access their information, you can control the sheeple much, much easier, as everybody knows. So I don't think people realize how much they are controlled and manipulated by the power brokers here. But the question is a question over privacy. We live in this age without any privacy. And there's an irony here, of course. It's an age of anonymity with our covenant bodies. That is, people want to be anonymous. They live in hermetically sealed existences apart from their own families, apart from accountability within the church body. And so there's a huge level of an anonymity going on as people are lonely in the big cities. But at the same time, this is an age of zero privacy from governments and everybody else on the internet. That is, so many more people know everything about you, and yet you're seeking anonymity from those covenant relationships that should provide for you something of a helpful accountability and transparency. So the interesting thing is that people are avoiding any kind of covenantal responsibility and accountability, while at the same time, they're completely open for the violation of their freedoms, their rights, their privacy at every other level. So there's an irony here, Steve.
Yes, there is. And I think the irony has come more after 9/11. So this is post 9/11 stuff, where the people who grew up in that era were open with everything. Back before 9/11, you didn't share a whole lot of information about yourself. Mm-hmm. But with the internet generation, the millennial generation, post 9/11 generation, they're sharing everything. They're taking pictures of their food. They're allowing their user location, and predators are finding that this is easy takings. So, it is just crazy out there.
Well, do you think that those interested in privacy will retain their privacy with the internet generation? I mean, will we see government stepping in and defending liberties? Hardy, har, har, har.
I can't imagine
that happening. Yeah. Unless you want to kill your kids or engage in horrible, perverted forms of sexuality. With those two exceptions, I don't think government's going to do all that much for meaningful liberties.
No, not at all, because the government wants to have the information on you. And because you signed third-party doctrine, because of certain things that have happened in our history, such as the Katz decision, which happened way back in the 60s, because of an executive order that President Reagan signed in I think, 1984, called Executive Order 12333, nothing that we have on the internet is private at all.
So talk about the executive order from Reagan. What happened with that executive order?
Well, back in 1984, of course, there wasn't that a lot of internet access or things that were going over the wires. It was all dial up and things like that. And because very little was traveling overseas, Ronald Reagan signed Executive Order 12333, which allowed for the federal government to be able to have access to any data that crossed overseas from the United States. Since that has not been rescinded, and Google and Yahoo and AOL and MSN all have servers that store our information on foreign servers, the federal government, by law, has access to everything that you have put on your internet, because all of your emails will now be stored. All of your information is stored on servers overseas. The federal government, through FISA laws and all of that, has access to everything you have ever done on the internet.
Well, the question today, shall we be interested in privacy? Is this a value for Christians? We're going to talk about that more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. Well, a question on this edition of the Generations Broadcast is, shall we as Christians be interested in privacy, especially in an age in which pretty much all semblance of privacy has been obliterated by our information systems and by the governments that control them? And is this important to Christians? One of the questions we have asked before is, what do we have to hide? Are we afraid that we will be held up to blackmail because we're engaging in illicit relationships or something of this sort? Christians who are engaged in pornography on the internet may be concerned that somebody may be aware of the fact that they have a porn habit. And you remember, was it AshleyMadison.com?
Yes.
where a number of Christians got stuck in that web because, well, there's no privacy on the internet. Let's face it, there's no privacy on the internet. And that was another example in which Christians were stuck, at least those who were given to visiting the wrong websites and so forth. So if you're got something to hide, then friends, the internet's not going to help you. I think we could pretty much conclude that. But Christians should not be afraid of blackmail. Why? Because they're walking in the light as he is in the light. They are walking transparently. They're open to their brothers and sisters. They're confessing their sins, and they're being cleansed of their sins. And my friends, this is the 1 John 1 description or definition of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're just a bunch of people walking in the light together, and they're not afraid of blackmail. But privacy is also helpful for other reasons, to protect our personal data from people who might envy our stuff, kidnap our kids, and steal our money or identity. So I don't think Christians like to see their kids kidnapped. They don't want to see their money stolen. And so privacy is helpful to protect some of this data. Privacy is also helpful to limit the access of governments to information, especially if these governments are working on the next genocide.
Yes.
And that's not a joke. Governments are very good at genocides. I think the 20th century should have been a competent demonstration of that fact. You look at the Armenian genocide of the early 1900s, the Ukrainian genocide. You think of the Jewish genocide of the 1940s and so forth and so on. There were a number of horrific genocides that took place. The Rwandan genocide as well.
Yeah, I was just thinking
that. Right. I'd say there were more genocides in the last 100 years than there were in previous centuries.
Yeah. There's more people. Oh, absolutely. There's more people dying for their Christian faith than they've ever been.
So, friends, privacy could be very helpful to limit the access of government's involvement into this information, especially these governments are working on the very next genocide. And do remember that many of these governments are under the auspices of principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age. And those powerful, powerful forces of wickedness. And if that be the case, then don't trust these governments. Don't trust these governments. Our founders understood that. Man by nature is corrupt, and man with power corrupts absolutely. So just be aware of these principles. I was in the Holocaust Museum with my kids. This would have been maybe 3 years ago, Steve. Have you been to the Holocaust Museum?
No, I've not been to D.C. yet.
I stopped at this one museum display in which we saw a prototype computer that was supposed to keep track of the Jews. In fact, the Germans took a census, I think it was in 1937, and listed the person's race as traced through his grandparents. And the information was later punched into coded cards by thousands of clerks. And then the cards were sorted and counted by this machine that I saw at the Holocaust Museum. It was a Holarith machine, an early version of the modern computer. And this helped the Nazi official Adolf Eichmann to create what he called the Jewish Registry. Now, that should cause a bit of a shudder going through your spine right now, yes, because this can contain the detailed information concerning the Jews living in Germany at the time, and that led to the destruction of some 6 million souls.
Yes.
All right, now here's a BTW, which means by the way. Yeah, good. Okay. Here's the BTW on this one. When the government takes a census each year and they ask for race, just put human.
That's what I do.
That might help you to survive the next racist genocide. Are you with me?
Yes.
So if you want to survive the next genocide, tip. Here's a tip. Put human under the category of race. And under religion, put the right religion.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. I haven't thought of that one.
Keep that in mind, my friends. Keep that in mind. Information is used to manipulate the masses as well, and I think we need to remember this, that we have to be cautious that we're not manipulated by the power brokers. They use this information all the time, Steve, you know, to manipulate the masses. They're always using the information to manipulate the masses. And so as Christians, let's be sure that we're very, very careful with how we are being led this direction or that direction by the information that comes across our screen. You know, I mean, just as simple as you're looking for a certain product. You type that product into the Google search, and then for the next 6 or 7 days, you see nothing but advertisements concerning the product you were looking for in almost every website that you run into. Has that happened to you?
All the
time. That's scary. That's really scary.
Yeah.
That means somebody is manipulating me. There's manipulation going on, friends. This manipulation is 100,000 times more effective. 100,000 times more tailor-made to each and every person who accesses the internet today than what we saw, you know, 30 years ago. This is manipulation. You are being manipulated. Be aware that your mind is being turned and being diverted and being manipulated by the powers that be in the economic and governmental structures around us right now. Now, how do we as Christians avoid manipulation? Let me give you a couple of ideas that came to my mind. And Steve, you might have something that came to your mind. Here's one thing. Hold to principle. Settle your worldview first. Receive God's word as the very first and final ethical standard so you won't be blown about with every wind of doctrine to support the next tyrant that comes down the chute. Remember the old country song that goes, believe in something or you'll fall for anything?
Yes.
Remember that country song? It came out in the 1990s, I think it was. You know, my daddy taught me this important lesson and so forth. Believe in something or you'll fall for anything. I think the way it should be read is believe in God's word, believe in absolute truth, believe in the word that God gives to us, or you will fall for anything. Friends, this is the thing we need to teach our children. We need to study God's word. When political forces are trying to get you all worked up over something, moderate yourself by the word of God. Ask yourself, what does the word of God say about immigration? check out Leviticus chapter 18 and Leviticus chapter 19. What does the Word of God say about handling the strangers in the land? When you're getting all worked up over whether Trump should have his fence or not have his fence. Okay, you're getting all worked up into a lather over the latest liberal conservative agenda item of the day. Ask yourself, what does the Word of God say about immigration? What does the Word of God say about trusting in social security systems, princes and horses and that kind of thing? Again, what does the Word of God say about these? Is God sovereign over the elections and so forth? We need to be rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word as it applies to the politics and so forth. Be sure that you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. You're listening to the voice of the shepherd. Don't follow the world and don't follow your heart. And here's one more thing, Steve. Be careful with distractions. This is one thing I teach my young disciples here in our discipleship center out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. We have four young men living in our basement right now. And so then one of the things we teach them all the time is if there's ever a smoke bomb in the post office, whatever you do, do not go to the post office. We teach them that all the time. Smoke bombs, and these young men will recognize smoke bombs all the time. They'll hear discussions about, you know, non-important things that are not foundational and fundamental, and they'll say smoke bombs in the post office. Why? Because the demons, the devils are always putting off smoke bombs in the post office, and why is that? Because somebody is robbing the bank.
That's good.
Don't you ever enter into the conversation. Don't you ever go into the post office when there are smoke bombs going off in this post office. You must go to the bank. Somebody is robbing the bank. So I'm going to say about 90% of the devil's strategies, whether it be through the internet, through the news programs or whatever it is, about 90% of the inputs you are getting that are demonically inspired are smoke bombs in the post office. They're diversions. They're distractions. Don't give way to every distraction the internet advertising is sending your direction. People open to distraction are given to follow the crowd to do evil. This is, again, the book of Proverbs. Or think of Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Now, what happens when this pops up over here on the side of the screen? Or this pops up over here? Or that pops up down here? You follow me? Have you ever been on the internet, Steve?
I'm on it now.
Okay. That you could witness what I'm saying right now.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be distracted. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil.
Amen.
That's good advice, especially in a day in which distractions and diversions is pretty much a full-time business. Well, before we're done with this edition of the program, I have a practical question that was sent into the radio program. And if you have a question or an issue you'd like us to treat on this program out here in our studio, then you just email me at host@kevinswanson.com. That's host@kevinswanson.com to communicate directly to me. Email me at host@kevinswanson.com, and as did this young woman from California. She said, thank you for your podcast. I try to listen daily. I'm very frustrated that no one seems to be addressing the idolatrous nature of social media, namely Facebook. All I ever hear when Facebook is mentioned is the lack of privacy aspect, which is a genuine concern. We just talked about that. However, I have experienced the complete cutoff by people who profess to be walking with the Lord, namely people who attend the church I was attending due to the fact I didn't click like on their endless selfies, nonsensical posts.
You're laughing. Oh, man.
And B, I have deleted my account. So that really got them upset. The deletion process included removing my name from everyone's friend list. So I'm sure that was the end of all those friendships.
Mm-hmm.
If that be the case, the friendships are fairly shallow.
Yeah.
That's a sad nature of modern life. I think we're all waking up to this horrible reality that modern friendships involving likes on Facebook is the most shallow and the most meaningless forms of friendship that the world has ever discovered. Okay, but anyway, the point is the deletion process, including removing my name, I neither imagined this nor am I making it up. I think we would be absolutely stunned if we would ascertain the number of people who profess to love the Lord Jesus, who are so addicted to social media, they have put Facebook on the throne and removed God. I can also say all this because when I was active on Facebook, it pretty much was all I ever thought about. It's a demonic tool to get the focus on us and completely off our Lord. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's her email to me. And you know what? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Jesus has set another one free from the idol of Facebook. In this case, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Yeah.
And you know what? Some of us are bound into some of these entertainment forms or some of these horrendous forms of electronic media to take us away from real reality and real relationships. And then Satan binds us to it with these chains that are like, you know, 7 feet in diameter, and it's possible for us to break free from these idols, but that Jesus Christ came to set the captives free and is to save us from our sins big time. Praise God.
Yeah. I mean, what is the purpose, or at least what it is now for most of social media, is to promote yourself to, you know, YouTube. What's their tagline for YouTube? It's, you know, to show off yourself, essentially.
Yeah. Selfies.
Yeah.
So sounds like a selfie.
Yeah.
Selfie sounds like a selfie.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it is a selfie because they called it a selfie and it is a selfie.
Yeah. So it's all about yourself.
It's all about self. Exactly. It's the idol of self, not denying self, taking up the cross and following Jesus. There's nothing to do with that. Apparently, it was designed by people who don't follow Jesus. Is that true of Mark Zuckerberg? Did he follow Jesus?
I think he has actually stated that he does not.
Okay. All right. Well, just a couple of things, friends, about Facebook and about online media. And there's some biblical principles here as well we can draw from. 1 Timothy 5:13 talks about young women, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. Does that sound like Facebook or what?
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like Facebook. So I would have younger women marry, bear children, manage their households, give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. Now, women are warned in Scripture about this very thing because women are given to this temptation, and as are some men. But this is very dangerous. They go house to house, and going house to house has become very efficient these days thanks to Facebook.
Yes.
You don't have to, you know, get in a car. You don't have to, like, walk 30 feet or 300 feet or 3,000 feet to spread your message to 20 households. I mean, friends, this is very dangerous. Gossips, busybodies saying what they should not. Does that ever happen on Facebook? Has it ever happened on Facebook that somebody have said something they should not have said? And it's very, very dangerous. According to 1 Timothy 14, these women are straying after Satan, the devil himself, when they do not focus on managing their households, but give way to Facebook addictions, acting out the part of gossips and busybodies. Very destructive. Very destructive to the church. I think almost every church leadership realizes that they're not going to survive as long as there are numerous Facebook accounts in their congregations that are being misused. Absolutely. Yeah. Those churches, you know, RIP, put the RIP sign on that church. It's going to be over.
Yeah.
Unless the predominant group of people in that church know how to handle this thing called Facebook. Facebook can be used to promote envy from others when you brag about your kids. The tendency for people to brag about their children, by the way, it's a useless thing. It promotes more competition and envy. It's not good. My mother used to say, wow, there are so many people who want to brag about what their kids are doing. They even want to put bumper stickers on their cars and things. And she said, we should never do this. My mother and father were fairly humble. They wouldn't brag about their kids. And I think it's very dangerous when we brag about our children. And sometimes we use pictures even on something called Snapchat in order to brag about ourselves and about our children.
Yeah.
We want to brag about our families. We want to present ourselves, and we open up ourselves to envy and competition. Inevitably, this is what happens, my friends. And let's face it, for most people, the likes on Facebook is just another means of seeking people-pleasing and to seek the accolades of men. And this, again, the fear of man is a snare. And 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests the hearts. So I'd encourage Christians not to solicit likes for themselves, and do not put likes on other people's Facebook pages. It only feeds pride.
Yeah, and if you take a look at what the Bible says overall on one another's, everything is other person centered. You look at Philippians that you need to consider other interests above yourself.
Yeah.
And so if we are building each other up, encouraging one another, bearing each other's burdens, promoting one another, then if we are all doing that, then somebody's going to count you as important as well. But you need to seek others' interests first. We need to start looking outside of ourselves, not broadcast ourselves. We need to seek others' interests, just like Christ did.
So Facebook can be used for gossip. Facebook can be used to promote pride and envy out of others. Facebook can become a forum for debate on every quarrelsome issue that comes down the pike. And when that happens, those relationships blow up. So again, Paul warns us 7 times in Timothy and Titus, whatever you do, don't give way to the quarrelsome issues, the debatable issues, the issues that just gender more strife. Be careful, be careful, be careful. And whatever you do, don't put any of that on Facebook. Well, is there any positive use for Facebook and Snapchat? I would say to make announcements and providing invitations to events and conveying some general information about the gospel, encouraging others with Bible verses, that sort of thing. Yeah, you might be able to do some of that. But bragging about yourself, your family, what you're doing on vacation, not helpful. That's my suggestion to you. Okay, my friends, that's my story. I'm sticking to it on this edition of the Generations broadcast. We need to see something of a reformation of information. We need a reformation of the way that we live, a reformation in the area of entertainment, a reformation in the area of family life, a reformation in the area of the church, a reformation in the area of just about everything according to God's word. And that's why we're bringing back the Bible. We're bringing back the Bible Conference in Washington, D.C. in August. And friends, I would encourage you to join us as we take the Word of God and apply it to every area of life to equip the man of God for every good work. As we're told in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we're bringing the Bible back in 2018 with the Bible Conferences, one in Washington, D.C. in August and another in Washington State in September. So these two conferences, I will be there, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, and others as well. Ray Comfort, Ken Ham, and quite a few others will be at these conferences. So I'd encourage you to sign up at our website, generations.org, right now for the Bible Conference. These would make for tremendous opportunities for vacations, for family vacations, for an edifying family vacation where you'll receive a teaching from the Word of God and a building up for your entire family, as well as some interesting museum tours and tours of Washington, D.C. from a distinctively biblical approach. So friends, again, if you would like a vacation that could be really fun and really edifying for your family, check out the Bible Conference at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.